The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Hey, What's News listeners, this is Luke Vargas, and we want to hear from you about what you like about this show and what you want to hear more of. More politics, more global news, more from the world of business. If you're listening to this on Spotify, look out for our poll under the episode description, or you can send us an email to wnpod@wsj.com. Now, on to the show. A big day in China news as Beijing plans a new military training site in Cuba. Plus, the EU moves to de-risk its ties to China while preserving its relationship. And Chinese leader Xi Jinping meets the U.S. Secretary of State as both sides agree to resume talks.
It counts as a big success that they were even able to meet at all, that they didn't openly exchange insults, that it looked pleasant, there were photo ops and everything else. I mean, these days with U.S.-China relations, that counts as a win.
It's Tuesday, June 20th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We are exclusively reporting that China and Cuba are in negotiations to establish a new joint military training facility on the island. That is according to current and former U.S. officials, who say that the plans are sparking alarm in Washington that Chinese troops and other security and intelligence operations could eventually be stationed just 100 miles off the coast of Florida. U.S. intelligence reports suggest discussions for the facility are at an advanced stage but have not concluded, and that the Biden administration has contacted Cuban officials to try and forestall the deal. The White House declined to comment, and the Cuban embassy in Washington didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. A Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman said it hopes the relevant parties can focus more on things that are conducive to enhancing trust and regional peace and stability development. That news comes on the heels of a closely watched visit to China by America's top diplomat. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Chinese leader Xi Jinping yesterday, and while Washington and Beijing failed to make any major breakthroughs, the two sides have agreed to more high-level talks as part of efforts to halt a downward spiral in relations. Jonathan Cheng is the Wall Street Journal's Beijing bureau chief, and he joins me now with more on this trip. Jonathan, how should we be evaluating the significance of this visit, both in terms of the precedent here and its actual outcome?
A lot of people would say that if there were any other time, previous administrations, perhaps before Trump era, this would be a pretty disappointing outcome. There wasn't a whole lot that was agreed upon. No deliverables, as they say in the business. Just a face-to-face, a handshake, a couple words spoken behind closed doors. But these days, it counts as a big success that they were even able to meet at all, that they didn't openly exchange insults, that it looked pleasant, there were photo ops and everything else. I mean, these days with U.S.-China relations, that counts as a win.
And this had been sort of long in the works, had it not?
Yeah, well, this was supposed to be picking up from the last meeting between Joe Biden and Xi Jinping in Bali late last year. They were supposed to have Secretary of State Blinken come to Beijing for a follow-up meeting in February. But in February, if you'll recall, there was a Chinese balloon that floated across the continental U.S. Washington alleges that it was a spy balloon. China denies that. The U.S. shot it down, and that led to Secretary Blinken having to cancel his trip at the last minute. It looked for a while that things were going to enter a deep freeze. The two sides tried to talk about military communication, and that was rebuffed by the Chinese. And so it's interesting that amid that backdrop, they were able to get this trip to happen. And it looked for a minute like it might not, because we, the Wall Street Journal, reported, citing U.S. intelligence, plans by the Chinese government to set up surveillance facilities in Cuba off the coast of Florida, reports that the White House eventually confirmed.
You mentioned no concrete deliverables kind of coming out of this meeting. Were there things that either side had hoped to nail down?
Well, yes. China sees the U.S. as wanting to hold it back economically and politically and militarily. The Biden administration has really accelerated efforts that began during the Trump administration to limit China's access to advanced semiconductors. These are the chips that go into everything that powers state-of-the-art technology. And so China was looking for some relief on that. They were looking for the U.S. to be less open and full-throated in its support for Taiwan, which is an island that China claims as part of its territory. And on the other side, the U.S. wants China to work with it on fentanyl, which is a deadly opioid that is flowing into the U.S. from Mexico primarily, but many of the precursors, many of the ingredients that go into the fentanyl come from China. And of course, there are a range of other things that the U.S. wants of China, which is to stop making moves that Washington sees as aggressive towards Taiwan, wants to see China make improvements on human rights. And so there are a lot of asks on both sides, and nothing was committed to by either side except that they would continue to talk about some of the lower hanging fruit, easier things than some of these big issues, things like restoring passenger flights between the two countries, journalist visas, and things that are just less controversial.
All right, so continuing to talk sounds like the big takeaway from this visit. What then is likely to determine the future course of relations, whether this actually leads anywhere else?
There will be a lot of things coming up. Obviously, the Ukraine war and how it evolves will continue to influence bilateral relations between Washington and Beijing. The U.S. feels that China is too close to Russia and openly supporting Russia. And then there are things like the Taiwan issue. We have Taiwan's vice president, who is running for the presidency in an election coming up in Taiwan. He'll be heading probably to the U.S. in the coming weeks and months, sometime over the summer. And that would be a real test again of bilateral relations between Beijing and Washington. So lots of things up ahead in the calendar that could derail this fragile detente.
That was Wall Street Journal Beijing Bureau Chief Jonathan Cheng. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, the EU is preparing a plan to cut China-related risks while sparing formal ties. That story and more after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The European Union is set to unveil an economic security strategy today that is shaping up to test its resolve to counter the rise of China. The Journal's Kim McCrail in Brussels says that Europe has long taken an open and liberal approach to free trade and investment, but that China's growing might is raising concern that that approach is exposing it to risks from a geopolitical rival. And Kim joins me now with more on what to expect today. All right, Kim, so tell us, what exactly are the European Union's aims here?
So what they're doing today is releasing this document that will outline what they're calling an economic security strategy. And the goal is to think more broadly about the ways that trade and economic relations with other countries can actually also include security risks for the economy. One of their concerns is the possibility of European companies investing in other countries. For example, a company investing in China with advanced technology, with capital, with expertise, and a concern that perhaps some of that may go to civilian uses. There's a concern that it could be used for advancing military and intelligence purposes.
If that is indeed what we get from the European Union, how does that compare to generally how Washington has approached its policies towards China?
It's been interesting to see, especially over the last few months, what does actually look like a convergence in the way that Europe and the United States think about the relationship with China. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has specifically cited some comments by European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen about the way that Europe is thinking about its relationship with China. So she has talked about, in thinking about the relationship with China, Europe should be thinking about de-risking and not decoupling. So maintaining the trade relationship, maintaining the diplomatic relationship, but focusing, zeroing in on where they see risks in that relationship.
And so, Kim, finally, what has China's response been to all of this?
Yeah, so we heard from China's ambassador to the EU last week on this topic, and he said China's glad to see that people are saying decoupling, like completely splitting off the two economies, that's not feasible, that's not desirable. He's happy to hear that. But he said that China's also concerned about how far the EU might go in pushing to reduce economic risks. He said Europe shouldn't overstretch the concept of security so much that it becomes an obstacle to having open and free trade.
That was Journal reporter Kim McCrail in Brussels. And we should note that today's EU strategy doesn't immediately change its trade or security policy, and that any formal decisions could take months. In other news today, Alibaba is replacing its chairman and CEO Daniel Zhang by naming company veteran and Brooklyn Nets owner Joe Tsai as the new chairman. Eddie Wu, who heads the Taobao and Tmall domestic e-commerce business, will succeed Zhang as chief executive. The reshuffling will go into effect in early September and comes as Alibaba, which has emerged in recent months from Beijing's clampdown on internet companies, undergoes a major reorganization. The company is in the process of splitting itself into six independently run companies that could seek separate initial public offerings. The Indian discount airline IndiGo has agreed to buy 500 Airbus jets in a deal valued at $50 billion that marks it as the largest commercial jet deal in civil aviation history. IndiGo's chief executive said that the deal highlights the growth potential of the Indian aviation market. The deal would more than double the airline's fleet of some 300 aircraft, with delivery scheduled to begin early next decade. U.S. companies could soon face a global tax mess and find themselves subject to higher taxes. Journal reporter Richard Rubin says that's the result of South Korea, Japan, the EU, and UK all moving ahead with a global minimum tax deal that U.S. officials helped to negotiate in 2021 to limit corporate tax avoidance.
The Biden administration tried to push that through Congress, and it didn't happen as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And so what that means is other countries will start imposing these taxes on U.S. companies. Those companies are going to pay more than they're paying now, but the U.S. won't be getting any money out of that. And so it's a really tricky political issue right now.
As the 2024 political cycle begins, Democrats want to implement the global deal, while Republicans are warning other countries against moving ahead. International search and rescue efforts are underway to find a tourist submersible visiting the shipwreck of the Titanic in the Atlantic Ocean before the five people aboard run out of air. In a press briefing on Monday, Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger said the crew was believed to have around 70 hours of emergency oxygen left.
It is a remote area, and it is a challenge to conduct a search in that remote area. But we are deploying all available assets to make sure that we can locate the craft and rescue the people on board.
And finally, cloud seeding is having a renaissance. The weather-changing technology that involves injecting non-toxic chemicals into moisture-laden clouds to boost rainfall dates back to the 1950s. But amid concerns about extended droughts across the western United States and Mexico, WSJ science reporter Eric Kneeler says that water managers are increasingly looking to cloud seeding as a possible solution to the lack of rain.
I think it's going to continue to spread just because water managers are looking at the cost benefit of this and is really not that expensive. One water district in Colorado, for example, it costs them $40,000 to do cloud seeding over quite a large area. That said, with that cloud seeding, they were able to get a little bit more snowfall, and the snow helped them buffer a little bit of their drought over time. Little marginal increases. I think it's going to expand. I think you're going to see this more happening. Whether it's going to solve the drought crisis or water problems on the ground, that's a whole nother question, and I don't think we really know yet.
And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.